Welcome to the Higher Self Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help you unravel anything keeping you from a life of true abundance, joy, and happiness, which is your birthright. Each week, we'll bring in different guests specifically tailored to help you on your journey to discovering your higher self, whether it's spirituality, business, finances, health, or relationships. There are no topics that are off limits. So get ready and enjoy this week's episode on the Higher Self. Welcome to this week's episode of the Higher Self. We've got David Sutcliffe.
How are you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Good. Good to be here.
Good to be here. You have wonderful energy.
Thank you.
Let's start off with that. Where did that come from?
I think I inherited it from my mother and my grandmother. My grandmother was a New Yorker. My mother was born and raised in New York. And they just have that effervescent energy. They love to talk to people. They're communicators. They're not shy. They can be loud and boisterous, which I can be too. I have a part of me that's introverted, but there's another part of me that just loves being around people, loves connecting, curious about people. So I'm excited to just to be here and meet you and meet new people. It's fun.
It's going to be good. Yeah. It's going to be good. So tell me a little bit about your journey.
Well, probably some of your audience knows me as an actor. I was an actor in Hollywood for a long time, best known as Christopher on Gilmore Girls, which was a very popular show.
Okay,
continues to be a popular show. It's incredible. The show lives on Netflix. I still get recognized every day of my life for it. So I had a nice run in Hollywood, but you know, like a lot of people, you know, you hit the apex, you hit the top, you get what you want, and you're not happy.
Yeah.
And that was true of me. I was 35 years old. I pretty much had everything that I wanted, and I felt depressed, and I was confused about it. I didn't understand why. And I'd been in therapy for a couple of years at that point. So I had some awareness of my history and how it was influencing me and some of the distortions. And I didn't think about it as trauma at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like I'd hit rock bottom at one point. I got dumped by my girlfriend. I had never been dumped before. And so my heart was broken and I felt out of control and confused and alone. And a friend recommended that I go to this workshop up at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California, with this woman named Ann Bradney. And she was a teacher at the Core Energetics Institute in New York City. And I had worked with a Core Energetics therapist previously, and it was very powerful. It was the first time that I was really able to feel, because a lot of the therapy, talk therapy, it was effective. It helped me understand what I call the math of my problem. I could put the pieces of the puzzle together, but I wasn't able to access my feelings.
Mm.
And so I knew this work was powerful, and he told me she was the next level of this and to work in a group. I was terrified to go, but I eventually went up there and walked in. Again, I remember I'm 35 years old. I'm a hot Hollywood actor. I'm jacked up. And I walk into this room full of kind of hippies, middle-aged women, and I start judging everybody immediately. Like, I'm not one of these weirdos.
Yeah.
And
what is today all about? Every guest today has been like a reflection of my old story.
Is that your story too?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a defense, right?
That's exactly.
I don't want to feel that. I want to stay separate, right? I don't want to feel that I'm like other people, that I have the same problems. But that's what that week gave me more than anything else. I realized I'm not alone, that I'm the same as other people. Everybody's walking around with fear, anxiety, and pain. And it completely changed my life. I had a very profound experience for myself, very deeply healing experience for me around, you know, with my mother and women, and it all kind of made sense. And I realized how much feeling that I've been holding back, how much rage, anger, frustration. It shocked me when it came out of me. Core Energetics, for those who don't know in the audience, it's a somatic psychotherapy.
Yeah, I'd love for you to get into it because, you know, my route was plant medicine.
Okay, I've done a lot of plant medicine.
You have as well.
Yes.
But what I love is that your route started not in plant medicine.
Yes.
And so I have a tendency to share out of love because I want everybody to heal.
Course.
My route, but I want to hear about this. I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Core Energetics is a somatic psychotherapy started by a guy named John Perakis in the 70s, and it evolved out of bioenergetics. A lot of people have heard of bioenergetics started by Alexander Lowen. And it you use different physical techniques. Like I have a studio here in Austin, and we have a big foam block, and we have a bataka, and you can hit it and scream and yell, and you get it all out. It really just the idea is that we have feelings inside us. They're locked inside us. They're, maybe we're disassociated from them. Maybe there's some we're aware of. A lot maybe we're not aware of. And those held back, repressed feelings are really running our lives. And so the idea is we help people feel their feelings on the simplest level. And that can take you to very, very deep places inside yourself. And but it liberates all this held, stuck energy. Like I said, rage, pain, fear. And when all of those layers of feeling are liberated, what you realize is your core comes through, which is just love. You know, and the heart opens and you see the truth of the nature of reality, the nature of the world, the nature of yourself.
Right.
And you can't forget that. So you know that. Now the workshop ends, you go back into life and you start to contract and your things come up. But that week changed my life. And that woman, Ann Bradney, at the end of the workshop, I thought, I want to know everything she knows. And I want to be able to do what she does. I don't know where that came from. I don't know why, but that's the feeling I had. And so the next year, she started her own school in Los Angeles, and I enrolled. And that was the beginning of my career as a somatic practitioner, psychotherapist, and the beginning of the end of my career as an actor.
Oh, so that's what you do?
Yeah.
So this is what you do?
Yeah,
See, you guys got to get this. You have to understand how this process works on the podcast. Casper, I don't know what he does, but he finds these awesome humans, and then they just show up in my house, and I have no idea, and I like to have no idea. I know some people like to prepare, but like for me, preparing is very like cerebral. I just like to like be in the heart and be in the moment and like discover along the way.
Yeah.
So this is freaking awesome.
Yeah, me too. That's how
I already want to sign up, by the way. Like I'm coming.
Yeah, you got to come. Dude, it's so awesome. The other thing about it that's fun is that it's in a group, right? So what happens in a group is all your people are in the group. Right? They're represented there in some way. So your mother's in the group, your father's in the group, your ex-girlfriend that dumped you is in the group. Like they're all there. And so you get a chance to work out your stuff with, you know, these people are obviously stand-ins, but it's a kind of a magical thing happens in a group. And, you know, you get your individual healing, but there's also an intelligence, as you know, like a group forms a kind of intelligent body, and it just takes over. And I think that's also a big part of the work is you start to realize that there is an intelligence working in you if you just surrender to it. You know, what we say to people is we don't have really rules. I mean, we have rules. Don't hurt anybody. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt the room. But the invitation for people is don't hold back. You don't have to hold back anything here. And, you know, when you hear that, that's simultaneously exciting, but also a little nervous because right. If I don't hold back, what's going to happen?
Right.
Right. Like, and you don't know, it's a leap into the unknown. And so that's really what happens in our groups. We all go there together, including the facilitators, because if I'm in control of it, then it kills some of the life. And the training that we've done, not just in the somatic psychotherapy, but in the group dynamic work is really to be able to stay in that unknown place and tolerate it and move with it and find the intelligence in it and gently guide it and follow it. And when that happens, it's like magic.
Yeah,
it's
magic
beautiful.
Happens. It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. I can't say it is because of I've done it, but I know the flip side in the psychedelic world. Yeah. So tell me this, what is this? Like it's a week long, a day? How does this work?
Right now we're doing workshop. Sometimes we do retreats. So it'll be 4 or 5 day retreats, but right now we're doing regular 3 day workshops. I have a studio in Austin. I have a woman that I work with, Angela I, and, we do a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and you know, people come in and they get a chance to just get it all out.
Cause I'm thinking like, I want to take all of my inner circle members.
Yeah.
It's my mastermind. Right. And they come in 4 times a year and we have workshops and seminars or whatever you want to call them around specific topics, yeah. right? And I'm thinking I want to bring all 50, 60, 70 of them.
I'd love that.
To you.
I'd love that.
So we'll talk after.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk. Yeah, we're doing that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'll show you the video of, we have some videos of work, so you'll kind of get a sense of it. It's really exciting.
I know. I feel. I see it in your smile. The smile says it all.
Yeah.
So tell me this. A lot of people are listening, and you know, I think for us, we have quote unquote done the work, mm-hmm. right? And when you talk, I understand the language.
Yeah.
Right? And I understand the language of holding feelings in. I understand the language of the impact that could have on the body. I know all of these things, but if someone's out there listening and they're really thinking, man, like, okay, I have issues, mm-hmm. right? I'm feeling a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to the core of, from your experience, mm-hmm. what are some of the issues that you have seen that are able to be resolved by doing the work?
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, the work is, it could be meditating, it could be breath work, it could be coming to awaken, it could be coming to you. There's all sorts of paths out there for people, right? What are some of the things that you've seen that have been able to be either healed or addressed? In your experience?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I made a video recently that, I wouldn't say it went viral, but it was very popular. And the theme was being the nice guy or the nice girl, right? That we become identified with being good and nice and understanding and compassionate, which obviously is a good thing, unless you're not being authentic, unless it's a mask, unless it's a defense, unless it's prohibiting you from actually saying what you think or standing up and being seen or setting firm, clear boundaries. So if you had a childhood where your no wasn't allowed or you felt controlled by your parents or by the environment, or you felt just your energy, your instincts, like the things you wanted to do were shamed in some way, one of the things you might do is sort of hold back that aspect of yourself and attempt to be good for your parents, because children are hardwired to want to please their parents. And because they're vulnerable and helpless, they have a survival mechanism that wants to stay connected and in favor with the caregiver. So they will abandon aspects of themselves in order to stay in connection with the caregiver. And so what we're trying to help people do is go back into that place that they abandoned, that energy, those feelings, those impulses, and reclaim them for themselves and see that if they bring themselves out, this fear of I'm going to lose the connection, somebody's not going to like it, they're going to leave, I'm going to be alone, I'm going to be abandoned, it's actually not true. And what happens at our workshop over and over again is somebody will get up and they'll bring out an aspect of themselves that they think is ugly or bad or wrong. But if they bring it out in an authentic way, it's like the whole room stands up, they move closer, they're drawn to it, because what people are drawn to is authenticity. Right? Even if the emotion is dark, right? Even if it's angry, if it's real, and obviously we're in a contained environment for it, it's compelling and it's real and it brings connection.
Yeah.
And so when people have that experience of themselves, it completely changes their paradigm, the way that they think about that aspect of themselves. So that's just one example.
So the nice guy.
The nice guy. I mean, I had that. I had to be a good boy for my mother because my childhood was very chaotic. My dad wasn't around. And it wasn't like my mother was, you know, abusive or anything. She was just overwhelmed.
Mm.
And if I was a problem, it was going to make the situation worse. So in order for me to create safety for myself, the best strategy was I'm going to be good.
Right.
I'm going to follow all the rules. I'm going to be good for my mother. I'm going to be good for the world. And I got a lot of praise for that.
Yeah.
It's like, you're such a good boy. You're such a good boy. And so I became identified with that. But then when I got into relationships, particularly with women, but really everywhere, I wouldn't speak my truth. And then I would be filled with resentment. And then it would come out in some explosion of anger and frustration. And they would be shocked and not know what was going on. And then I would feel shame about it. Like, oh my God, I'm a bad guy.
Right.
And then I'd go back to trying to be nice. And the cycle would continue.
Yeah.
Right. And so I had to learn to stand my ground and learn to really to contain my energy, which is another thing that we teach. Because if you've had to hold back some aspect of yourself for a lifetime, Mm-hmm. You can't just open up the faucet and let it come through, right? It's going to overwhelm your nervous system. So it has to be done gently over time, but you can build tolerance for it so that, you know, at first when you start setting your boundaries, say, you know, you start to say no to people and it might be a little bit messy. You might be overly aggressive. You know, you might overcompensate and that's okay. It's part of it, right? You're getting there. You're working on it. And over time, you'll start to embody that and you'll start to trust the goodness of it. And it's really when you trust the goodness of it, then you can stay in it, right? With the person, stay connected, stay present. And then here's the other thing. It's like you can tolerate their reaction. Mm-hmm. Because when you set that boundary, when you say what is true for you, you actually don't know how they're going to react, right? You're letting go of some degree of control. And normally we don't do that. We're unconsciously, very subtly trying to control other people in how we show up and the things we say and the tone of voice that we use, right? But if we're just ourselves and we just say what's true for us in a simple way, we don't know what's going to happen over there. And what we also have to learn is that we can tolerate the reaction. So if somebody doesn't like it, that's okay.
It's okay.
Maybe we have to feel the disappointment of them not liking it. Maybe they leave. Maybe they decide they don't want to be friends with us anymore. Okay. But the decision that we have, am I going to stay with myself or am I going to leave myself to stay connected to the other?
Yeah.
Right. And what we're trying to teach people is stay with yourself, stay with your truth. Don't betray yourself. Don't give yourself away. And if you do that, you're actually going to get more connection than ever.
It's so interesting. I'm going to take a moment here because this is bringing so much up for me that I'm sure you're going to get a kick out of. But, you know, I love for the audience to hopefully, you know, learn from real life experiences. I was the nice guy my whole life, my absolute
right.
whole life. And you would never think that. You would never think that because I'm the guy on stage. I'm the big business guy. I'm the coach. But when it came to women, well, there's
women are scary.
Women are, whew, yeah. There's two kinds of women.
Yeah.
There's, and you know this as a man, there's the women that, like, you know, maybe you'll have a fun time with.
Yeah.
You know, no problem. I wasn't the nice guy too much there. Right. I could be normal. But when I really want a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Mr. Nice Guy.
Right.
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 Because I don't want to lose
right.
that woman. Right. And so I remember when I first started meeting my girlfriend Jen, I was epitome of the nice guy. I'm talking, I sent flowers. I'm mm-hmm. talking, I showed up a little bit early. I'm talking, like, I scoped out the neighborhood. Of course, I picked a restaurant. I did all that I always
yeah.
do. But I knew how to get there. I was just so over the top.
Yeah.
And she's so in her groundedness.
Yeah.
That it was, the polarity wasn't there,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we had this moment where it was like, you know, truly she went into her masculine and I, as a result, went into my feminine
yeah.
and it just didn't vibe.
Yeah.
And it was like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
This isn't going to work, you know? But, and in my head, my ego thought, she's so mean.
Mm-hmm,
but the
mm-hmm.
truth was, no, you weren't being yourself.
Yeah.
Dude. You
yeah.
weren't being yourself.
Yeah.
So you always get to own that, right?
Yeah.
Later on, obviously it was all, you know, fixed. But one of the things that I always struggled with when it came to relationships with women is just speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so attached to the potential outcome,
mm-hmm.
to them getting upset with me, to them not liking me, to
right.
them not wanting to be with me anymore, you know? And I'm sharing this because I want all of you to hear this, that regardless if I'm in this seat or if I have followers or whatever, I'm still a human being. And I tell this to everybody. It's, we're all the same. We're not different, right?
Yeah.
We're all one, basically. But the flip side of all that is, I will share with you how, I don't know if this has shown up for you, but how it's shown up for me in terms of my growth.
Mm-hmm.
I remember on social, I was so wearing a mask, and my mask was, like me for the things that I have.
Right.
Like me for my car, like me for, because I'm motivating, like me because I have a big house or whatever the case may be. And the minute I dropped all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. And I just started talking about the things that I love to talk about. And the minute I became authentic.
Yeah.
Things skyrocketed for me.
Interesting. Yeah, because I've been following you for a while and I'm very skeptical of people, but I could feel your authenticity and it made me trust you. Like you just felt real and straightforward. You weren't putting on a front or a pretense. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I wrestle with that all the time, you know? I mean, I was an actor on a very popular TV show, which a lot of women watch, and they have a projection, right? There's a lot of transference you face when you're in this role. Right. And some of it is positive transference and some of it is negative transference. And to hold all of that, right? And to hold on to yourself is not an easy thing to do. And some people are just not going to see you. They're going to make you the enemy. Oh. You're the bad guy. I thought you were this and now it turns out you're that. And I'm disappointed in you. And that's, you know, the old me would have got hooked there. I mean, I can still get hooked there, but I just...
Yeah, you're able to navigate it.
Yeah, I can navigate it. I don't get pulled all the way in, but I notice the place where it pulls at me, and particularly on social media where people can, you know, comment. When it's face-to-face, it's a different game.
Oh, it's a different story. But when they get that typewriter courage, oh boy.
I know.
Oh boy, yeah. It's so interesting because people have a tendency, like, you know, this one video that actually did go viral, I said, you know, I'm not a woman, but if I was a woman, I wouldn't open my door. I wouldn't pay for my dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
You know, and I was, and I was just being in, it was in the moment. It was in an interview like this.
Yeah.
I didn't read a script. I was just sharing, like, I think that's part of what makes you successful in life is you have to know who you are, what your boundaries are, what you'll accept, what you won't accept. So I was genuinely sharing from the perspective of, if I was a woman, I wouldn't do any of these things because I don't treat a woman that way. I'm very chivalrous when I'm with her.
Yeah. You know?
And because in that moment I'm in my zone and I'm heated, I use the word command.
Mm.
Oh, or command. Demand. I said, I would demand. I don't even know what I said.
Right.
I would demand.
Yes.
My God. On one side, it was the greatest blessing.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody who gets emotionally attached to anything that anybody says that triggers them.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They started commenting all because of that one word.
Wow.
Who
was upset? Men or women or both?
Oh, the world.
The world.
Yeah.
They just didn't like that.
They just don't like anything.
Yeah, I was curious. I watched that video. I liked it. I was curious.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great. It was bold, man.
Yeah.
It was bold. And it's good to be bold. It's good to take those risks on social media, I think.
Absolutely.
Because it is real.
And, you know, I want your opinion on this one. And the other thing that recently came up was when I posted, you know, pictures of Jen and I.
Mm-hmm. I saw that too.
And I genuinely shared, like, I know you understand what I mean. Like, this woman is my medicine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, case in point, the nice guy thing.
Yeah.
She was able to see, like, you're not being authentic.
Yeah.
So it grounded me in my authenticity. That's medicine. That's powerful medicine.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of women in particular,
mm-hmm.
like women who may not look like that or who may have wanted me to stay in a certain box.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it culturally, women who may want me to be with someone that looks like me.
Interesting.
And that mm-hmm. looks like them.
Mm-hmm.
It was all mostly like Hispanic women.
Yeah.
I love you guys. But it's the truth.
I can imagine. How was that for you? I mean, how do you navigate that? It must pull at you. You must have conversations about it or.
You know, I've gotten into a space where for the most part, I see it and it's like, okay, whatever. You know, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
But this was about something so personal that I thought as a man, most men don't do, mm-hmm. which is share my feelings of gratitude and love for somebody, you know. Somebody that I feel like I've been waiting for basically my whole life. So this is like huge for me. And to get all of this meant, I got charged up.
Wow.
I got charged up.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're being vulnerable and then you get attacked.
Right.
So it must have, I can imagine you'd be upset or angry or maybe hurt in some way. You don't feel seen or understood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I want to know from you so that our listeners understand is talk to me about that flip side because you did say projection was mm-hmm. a thing, right?
Yeah.
When we as human beings project our stuff
mm-hmm.
onto other people, where does that come from and what is that like and how do we heal it? How do we fix it?
Yeah, well, we all project all the time, right? So, you know, one of the things that I talk about with people is to look at your judgments, right? And who do you have a charge with in the culture, right? Is there somebody you love? Is there somebody you hate? And if you're really fixated on them, there's probably something in them that is disowned in you. It could be positive, it could be negative, right? And so, like, you know, this is going to get me into trouble, but when Trump got elected president, my first thought as a psychotherapist, when people started freaking out about him, I said, well, why are they so, I mean, there's reasons, obviously, but the charge was so intense. I thought, oh, he must represent the father in some way. I mean, all presidents represent the father, but there was a ton of negative transference. And it made sense to me, considering what is going on in the culture with men, that there would all be this anger and frustration projected onto him. Some of it legitimate. It's not like projections can't be accurate.
Right.
But how do we get through it is we have to take ownership of how we feel, right? What comes up inside me that I don't want to feel? I'm projecting something out. I'm making a judgment. I'm putting it on them. But if I take back that projection, what comes up inside me in relationship to that person or that thing? That's the work.
And you know, the beautiful thing is I think that that's why Trump was who he was and he is who he is that he projects a lot of things.
A lot of things, yeah.
Number one, I mean, if you want to talk about a guy that speaks his truth, whether you don't agree it or not, yeah, in absolute cutthroat, it doesn't matter fashion, he's projecting the fact that you don't feel safe to speak your truth.
Right. He's authentic to himself.
He's authentic to himself for sure.
Yeah.
Right. And to somebody like me who's in the journey of unraveling all of the work that I have to do, I appreciate that.
Me too.
I do.
Of course.
I do. And sometimes it's like, you shouldn't have said that. But it's like, damn it, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that courageous.
Right.
Right? Like at least back then I wasn't.
Yeah.
Right? But that's number one, right? The second thing is money.
Right.
You know,
money brings up a lot of issues.
Money brings up a lot of issues because it's a mirror back to you, right? It's like when we're mad at the rich, what we're really mad at is ourselves.
Yes.
We're mad at our incapacity to master this area of life.
Right.
And so then when we project that anger out onto the rich, the wealthy, right?
Well, self-responsibility is the whole game, right? If you want to be free, you have to be self-responsible. You have to take responsibility for how you feel and all your projections. And they're hard to examine. Listen, I have projections all the time. I don't want to give them up. I love to make people the enemy. I love to make them bad.
It's easier that way.
Yeah, and I love to feel righteous and right. I am right. I am right.
Right, right.
And maybe I am right, but it doesn't matter. Why this charge? Why am I so upset? Why am I so fixated on that? There's something to do with me. There's something unresolved inside me. Is there an aspect of me that I see in them that I don't want to face or feel in myself? Am I arrogant? Am I narcissistic? You know, do I have a lot of judgment or... do I have cruelty maybe? Have I been cruel or all of that stuff? But also the flip side of projection is it's if you see somebody that you love and you're really fixated on them, maybe there's something like light in them. Maybe there's like a higher self quality in them that is also disowned in you because it's not always shadow projection. Sometimes we're projecting our light onto other people.
I love that.
So it's important that you know people are aware of both of those aspects. But yeah, self-responsibility, I mean, that's the whole game. And you know, we all struggle with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's where we find freedom.
And I love it because that leads me into number three about Trump.
I love that we're talking about Trump.
And by the way, tell the team I want this clip. I want this clip. I want it from when he started to like, I want like a nice, because it's going to be medicine for people.
Mm-hmm.
Because number three is his race.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
You know, for a large portion of the American population, they're not able to understand love.
Right.
They don't understand that you are me and that I am you. Mm. They're not able to look in each other's eyes and understand that we're the same person on the same journey.
Yeah.
Because they've been programmed through hate and through separation.
Yes.
To think that someone is different than you or better than you or has more opportunity than you just because of the color of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like when you go to the depths of the truth about life, there could be nothing further than that.
That's right.
Absolutely nothing further than that. So when you see someone, right? When you see someone that speaks his authentic truth, whether you agree with it or not, right?
Yeah.
Makes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So he's mastered that area that you're having a hard time with. And on top of that, he looks different than you.
Yeah.
Fuck him. He's wrong.
Right. And he has no shame.
He has zero shame, which if you really think about it, how beautiful would life be if you had zero shame?
Yeah.
And you were just your authentic self, regardless of what anyone thought.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons that people were so triggered by him.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly that. He's shameless. He apologizes for nothing. And his shadow is right out there in the open. He's like, this is who I am. I'm not hiding. I understand that he's a liar. Like, I get that. But he's the most honest liar that we've ever seen. Because it's like when he's lying, you know he's lying. He knows he's lying. He's got a smile on his face about it. You know he's playing you. He's a salesman.
Yeah. I'm glad you know what? I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for being you, because we got to have a conversation in a way that I truly feel for anyone out there that is listening, that is ready to look into the parts of themselves that are fragmented and that they've been scared to look at. I think that that was not only a polarizing example, but a very true example.
Yeah, and I'll say one more thing, and this is probably a discovery that I got from my work with plant medicine, is that I believe that Trump and others, right, like he's a manifestation of the collective unconscious. So he is not separate from us. Like everything that's coming up in the collective is part of us. And so we all have to take ownership of it. And so I think the approach is to be curious about everything that's coming up. And some of it you may like, some of it you may not like. It doesn't really matter which side of the debate you're on. Are you willing to be curious about what's coming up? Now, there may be distortions in what's coming up, but there's something in there that is worthwhile of exploration. And there's something in there that's also in you.
And it could be medicine for you.
Exactly.
I'll give you this example. Yesterday, we posted a clip about my friend Jack. My friend Jack Lang was sitting here in this seat. And, you know, the podcast was about how to bridge the gap between, like, there's this thing with Asian Americans. Mm-hmm. There's this thing with it. It's like, you know, everybody else is like, we kind of find a way to hang out. But Asian Americans is like, they just hang out with themselves. Type of deal, you know? And me and Jack are not like that. Me and Jack this is my friend. This is my brother.
Jack's Asian.
Jack's Asian, right? Yeah. He happens to be a good looking model Asian. He's, you know, the stud, whatever. But I'm like, Jack, I want to talk about this because I feel like we could help a lot of people with this. He's like, sure, no problem. So we start talking. We start rapping. He's done plant medicine. I've done plant medicine. We start talking about semen retention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't.
We start talking about semen retention. And it just so happens that I've read The Tao of Health, Happiness, and Longevity for Men, or whatever the name of the book was. So I understand what semen retention is, right? So I literally thought to myself, wow, this is going to be a clip that, like, a lot of people are going to appreciate because it can help change your life.
Yeah.
This is everything. It comes from that perspective, right? You had so many men that were like, bullshit. You guys will believe anything. You guys will buy into anything. This is stupid. I'm going to bust a nut. I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. And it's like, that's what you're speaking about. It's like, could you allow yourself to be open?
Right.
Right? Because in the thing that is bothering you,
yes,
it's showing you parts of you,
right,
where you are simply not open enough, yes, to accept a different possibility.
Well, if you thought it was bullshit and it didn't trigger you, you just let it go by.
Bingo.
The fact that you comment on it is proof that there's something inside there. You.
That's
exactly
right.
So that's the tell.
That's
every
right.
time.
That's right. Because if you had peace,
yeah,
which very few humans reach that level of enlightenment. But when you have peace within yourself, nothing can bother you.
Yeah,
you're cool.
Because every guy knows it's not great to be jerking off all the time.
Who doesn't know that? That's common sense. So actually, for all of you men who are out there saying bullshit, is because you're doing it too often. And that's, yes, absolutely.
You're rationalizing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it.
Absolutely. If you're enjoying this episode, I wanted to remind you that this episode is being brought to you by the energy of healing and transformation. And it is your time to act now to transform your life by awakening your highest self. Join us March 23rd, 24th, and 25th in Austin, Texas, live at Awaken Your Highest Self.
Tickets are on sale now. Go to DannyMorrell.com/awaken and reserve your seats today.
So tell me this part. You did mention the nice guy for guys.
Mm-hmm.
How about for women?
It's the same.
Okay.
You know? Women, they can have the same issues. I understand women, you know, they might have a different disposition than men in general.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of women do the same thing. They give themselves away. They don't know how to have boundaries. They don't know how to stand up for themselves, right? They're not clear about what they want. And it's for the same reasons. And I think it's probably even culturally worse for women, right? That they're taught to please, to be good, to be nice, that if they're too outspoken, too wild, they're called a bitch, they're out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's actually even worse for women. And I think a lot of women are coming to terms with, we have women in our workshops just, raging.
Yeah.
And it feels so good to see them just get it out, set their boundary, be really clear, because so many women have been abused by men, violated by men, and So they can stand up and feel their strength, their power, their know, their energy, like the full force of their energy. And so I think it's an epidemic in the culture, to be honest. Listen, our own power scares us, you know, and in some way along the way, we probably learned or we interpreted that it was wrong. That if I'm all the way who I am, if I'm fully expressed, if I stand here in all of my power and all of my glory, that it's not okay. I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be judged. It doesn't feel safe. And I think that's the most vulnerable thing. I say this all the time, you know, in my workshops, it's vulnerable to show people your anger, your pain, your frustration, your fear. That's very vulnerable. But nothing is more vulnerable than standing tall and letting the light of your love and your gifts and your beauty shine through. That is the most vulnerable thing. And that is the hardest thing for people to express in my workshops. I can get them to talk about their shadow. I can get them to talk about their sins, the bad things that they've done, the mistakes that they've made, the shame that they feel. They'll go there. But get them to talk about how amazing they are, their gifts, how wonderful they are. That's the edge. That's where people get scared. And so certainly you do have to go through the shadow, I think, to get to the light. But the light is the final goal. And so that's the work that I'm doing for myself right now, because I spent a lot of time, just because I'm interested in it, in exploring the dark realms and the darkness inside myself. And I feel like I exercised it. So my work now is, am I willing to stand all the way in my light? Am I willing to be here all the way in my glory? Knowing full well, I'm going to continue to make mistakes. I'm going to say something wrong. My ego is going to come out. My arrogance is going to be seen, but I'm not going to make myself bad.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to hold on to my goodness. I'm going to hold on to my good intentions. I'm going to let the world see me. I'm going to show them my love, show them my heart. And, you know, I'm saying all that and it feels so good. Yeah. And it's scary.
Yeah.
It's really, really scary.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so incredible. I think it's scary because, let's go deep here a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because that's how the system is designed.
Yeah.
You know, the system is designed to be a place where we are all muted,
mm-hmm.
right? Where we believe that there's something or someone else coming to help us or save us or whatever the case may be, so that we don't ever discover ourselves.
Yeah.
And that, and I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about here. But that's why we get so excited about sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
And about teams and even about actors,
yeah,
and famous people and so forth and so on, because it's like it's safe for them to be powerful,
right
and it's obvious why they're powerful,
mm-hmm.
because they're an actor, because they're this or that, but it also allows me to deflect,
yes,
right, it also allows me to deflect my true power onto them,
mm-hmm.
because it's easier for me to do that than to own my own true power. And that's why, like, when we have an event, like, nowadays, I don't even let anybody introduce me or do the clapping thing or anything. Mm. I just get up and I say, you guys ready to get to work?
Yeah.
And people are like, well, wait. They're so used to like the applaud and the hoopla and everything. I just want to get to work.
Yeah.
I just want to get to work.
Yeah.
I don't want you to take a selfie with me. Not because I'm an ass.
Yeah.
But because I don't want, it's not about me.
Exactly.
It's about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I mean, that's interesting. I've never thought about it in quite that way, but I think that's exactly right. It goes back to the projection. We project our light onto these celebrities, onto these athletes, and they play it out for us, and we feel the feeling through them. We feel their power. We feel their strength. We feel their aliveness, but it lives inside all of us. And, you know, I'll take it back to the shadow is like, you know, what I've come to understand is, yeah, there is a force inside all of us, which, you know, in core energetics, we call it the lower self. And it is a defense and its job is to keep you safe.
Yeah.
So it's going to tell you all kinds of stories. They're not true stories. They're stories based in fear, but you don't know that when it's whispering in your ear, when you want to take that risk, when you want to expand, when you want to grow, when you want to reveal yourself, be vulnerable. It's whispering in your ear, like, it's not safe to do that. Or maybe even worse, like, you're a loser, you're a dummy, you can't do this, you're not good enough. And maybe you interpreted some of those signals, you know, in your childhood and you internalized it. But there is that aspect of us that we all have to keep an eye on, you know, that saying, fear is a liar. But when we're in the grips of it, it feels so real, right? And so what I always tell people, and I have it for myself, it's like, you have to have a practice.
Mm.
You have to have a practice to mitigate against the darkness because it's everywhere in the culture, as you said. The system is set up that way and it's inside you and it can get hooked really easy. And again, because it thinks that it's keeping you safe.
Right.
The belief is that you have to stay small to be safe. That's the lie.
So powerful.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's really important to have some kind of practice, whatever, you know, it's different for everybody.
So what's yours?
Something that orients you to the light.
Yeah. What's yours? Somebody's out there saying, oh my God, this stuff is deep. You know what? You're right. I see this within myself. Okay. I want to get started right now. Like what do I do? And you sharing that I'm going to share as well.
So
you can help some folks out. Yeah. What?
Well, I think getting in your body is like crucial. I mean, you have to be exercising in some way just to be connected to this meat suit that we have because there's a lot of aliveness in there. So I think it's really important to diet and exercise are crucial.
So let's stop for a moment.
Yeah.
My spiritual mentor taught me something that rang so profound to me. And he said, Danny, there's three energies of human mastery. Number one is money. Number two is sex, and number three is food. And what he didn't know he was going to teach me that I later discovered myself was it is so correlated to our three brains: money, the mind; sex, relationships, the heart; and food, the gut.
Interesting,
right?
Yeah.
And so many people, they bypass the importance of what we're eating and what we're doing for our bodies, right? And so, if you're out there listening, the greatest form of self-love or one of the greatest forms of self-love is to love the temple that you're in.
Yes.
Right? And for a lot of folks, I know people who've never worked out a day in their lives. I know people who have never gone for a walk. So let's bare bottom basics.
Yeah.
Like if I'm listening to the show right now and I'm thinking, oh my God, that's me. I got to get into some sort of rhythm. What would you recommend?
Walking. I recommend that to all of my clients. I'm an avid walker. I walked 7 miles this morning. It's the best thing for you. We're built to walk. It's very easy to do. You can build up tolerance for it very quickly. It's the best way to lose weight. And the other thing about walking, and I recently discovered this, is if you're in a state of fear, if you're triggered, let's say you're upset and you're having a fear response, it may feel like anger or frustration, but it's really just fear. If you go for a walk, you are moving forward through space. That's telling your brain that you're not afraid. If you feel afraid and you move forward, your brain says, oh, I guess this must not be dangerous, or I must have courage. I'm moving towards the danger. So it actually is the best way to alleviate the fear response, the trigger response. So I would absolutely recommend everybody walk. If you're not doing anything, that's the best place to start. Yeah, you have to get your diet under control. And then, you know, some form of meditation, whether you want to meditate exactly like, you know, Vedic meditation or transcendental meditation, whatever it may be. But you have to come to terms with the fact that you are not your thoughts and you are not your feelings. You have to create separation between that. And you understand that there is a you like that can see you. Who is the you that is watching your thoughts? And you have to make contact with that. Because if you're identified with all of your thoughts and feelings, it's very hard to get out of the matrix of your mind, yeah. Right? Yeah, sure. So that's a key thing. And yeah, I think that's that. Like that's the place to start, is just to start to have some awareness. And then
I want to talk about the ice baths.
Yeah, ice baths are phenomenal for your nervous system, right? They release a lot of great hormones. You're going to feel great coming out of an ice bath. It reduces inflammation, releases human growth hormones. So, I mean, if you know, ice baths are hard. It's not for the faint of heart. But the thing that I do, I have a very serious spiritual practice with the Lakota. So I sweat lodge every Wednesday, and I vision quested, and I'm a sun dancer. So that over the course of the last 6 or 7 years has become the place that I go to pray. And it's the community. And this is the other thing that I think is really important. I was somebody who isolated a lot in my life. I didn't really realize it, but I started to see it, and I started to see the negative impact of it and how detrimental it was to my mental health. And I made a commitment to I was to live in community. And community's hard because people are annoying. And you know, people are awesome and they're also very annoying.
Yeah.
And you got to put up with them. And that's what community is. And I just made a decision. It's like, okay, I'm gonna put up with it because it's worth it.
Yeah.
And so that my community now is this, you know, my sweat lodge community. And it just gives me so much. It's a place that I can go. I'm with a group of people every Wednesday. We're praying together. Other people go to church on Sunday. This is sort of our church. We sing together. We have an experience together. It's a purification ceremony. And no matter what is going on in my life, I make it to Sweat Lodge on Wednesday. And when I come out of that lodge, I'm feeling purified. I'm feeling connected. I'm feeling good. And just that knowing, right, that, well, I got that on Wednesdays, that thing can always set me straight. So it's the routine of it and the practice of it. It gives me a grounding and a structure, which I think we need in this, you know, crazy world that we live in. You need something to structure you to get through all this.
So I know what a sweat lodge is. Mm-hmm. I've done a couple of them myself. But if I'm out there listening, by the way, beautiful medicine. Beautiful medicine. What is a sweat lodge?
A sweat lodge is a purification ceremony. So it's looks like a little igloo. It's a wood frame and covered in canvas. And then they build a fire, and in the fire, there are rocks. It depends how many, 28, 29 rocks, could be more, but the standard is 29 rocks. And there's 4 rounds to a sweat lodge. The rocks get really hot, 2 hours in a fire, and they'll bring in 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 rounds, rocks per round. And then they'll close the flap. It's pitch black. And they'll start to pour water on the rocks, and it gets very hot and steamy. And then the drum starts, and then the singing starts, and you start to go somewhere, and it can get extremely uncomfortable. Not always, they're not all super hot, but occasionally it can get very, very hot, so hot that you can start to panic.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me. It's happened to me even recently, last night actually. And you have to find your stillness. You have to go to your heart. That's what they say, is just go to your heart. Go to your heart if you're panicking, and find your way through it. And what you realize is you can. And that the fear was just an illusion. And that you could survive this. And there's so much strength on the other side of that experience. It's scary.
Yeah.
But there's so much strength. And it's the other thing that I always say to people is you have to put yourselves in situations where there is leverage created for you to confront your fear. Because otherwise you're not going to do it. The thing about lodges, you can't get out. Mm. I mean, you can, but you're packed in there pretty tight. And it's tough to get out. It's a scene to get out. So you're highly incentivized to stay in and deal with it. Who wants to feel their fear?
Right.
Nobody. I want to get the hell out all the time. But when I stay, I realize I can tolerate it.
Yeah.
And that lesson, like that, I mean, the Native Americans had something figured out.
Yeah.
Like they understood all of their ceremonies, at least how I see it. They understood that all you have to do over and over again is put people in the center of their fear and make them stay in it, right? Force them to confront what's scary. It's like a physical ordeal. And what you'll find is you can get through it and something gets liberated inside you. You feel stronger, you feel more free. And in those moments, there's nowhere else to go but to God.
Yeah. I remember my first sweat lodge experience was, I didn't know what to expect, but it was during an ayahuasca retreat. And I remember that, I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass out. How long is this going to last?
How long is this going to last?
Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting the power that you have if you choose to tap into it.
Yes.
Because you could also choose to allow your ego to run amok.
Yeah.
And I remember the incredible power I felt by lasting, just by lasting mm-hmm. the whole time. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. At the very end, I was sucking cold air out of the floor.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I stayed my ass in there.
Yeah, you know? You're allowed to go to the ground.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah, and afterwards, we all went out and the hugs we gave each other.
Yeah. Because
you feel like you did it together.
Yeah, it's deep.
It really is deep. And then we jumped into the river.
Oh my God.
So it's just clear. Yeah. Oh, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, really good medicine. And the community is, I mean, with all of these things, when I first started doing this work, I was new to it and I had Monday night group. It was just, a group of 12 people and they would come every Monday. And I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. I was still figuring it out. And sometimes the groups would be frustrating. And I started to wonder, like, are people getting anything out of this? Like what, I don't really know what I'm doing. And they seem frustrated. And I started to question it. And I was like, why are they coming back? And then I saw one day they all came in, they were hugging each other, and then they started playing. And we had these balls and they were throwing them around. I said, oh, they're just coming to be together.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm holding the space for them, that's enough.
That's it.
And I took all this pressure off myself to be good or to have the perfect intervention or just to say the right thing. It was like, it was enough that I was creating the space for them to just come together and be together.
Yeah. It's interesting because that's I believe that's one of my life's karmas is relationships.
Yeah.
And other humans. It's like I'm a hermit.
Are you?
Oh, I stay to myself.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cuz that's my comfort zone.
But you obviously have a gift for articulating these concepts. I mean, that's clear. You're very well spoken and clear about it. But also you're a natural performer.
Yeah. So like I think it's the Gemini in me. I don't know.
When's your birthday?
June 6th.
June 8th.
When's yours? June 8th.
Uh-huh.
What year?
69.
Awesome. 77. I have a cool birthday. 6677. It's pretty cool.
Mine's 6869.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. It's funny how your ego loves things like that. Oh, but my birthday is special.
Uh-huh.
6, 6, 7. Anyways, but I think it's the Gemini in me where there is literally no place I feel more comfortable than being on stage, helping thousands of people.
Right.
Right. And then there's no place I feel more uncomfortable than like in a small group.
Yeah.
Where people want to like get to know me.
Really?
Oh my God.
When did you know this about yourself? Like when did you discover that you liked being in front of thousands of people and speaking? Like, because most people, that sounds...
That's the fear.
Yeah, that's the fear.
No. Listen to me. I drive my staff crazy. I drive my staff absolutely nuts. And my staff has been with me for a long time already knows. We could have the most important talk. We could have the most important 3-day event. We could have people flying in from all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And I simply like, I won't even prepare. I'll just get up and do my thing.
Yeah. That's how I do it too.
Yeah, it just feels better that way. It feels better that way. But I've known this, 20 years.
Wow.
Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 It's fun.
It's wonderful.
It's flow.
It's my work.
Yeah.
It's my life's purpose.
You're in your gift.
That is. And yet I know that my shadow is the opposite.
Mm.
My shadow is like friendships. Like I'll cut you fast.
Really?
Oh my God. Like if you, if you something mess with me or want too much of me, and I'm going to tell you the other thing. Do you know, have you done human design?
I know a little bit about it. My girl's into it. Yeah.
Oh, you should do it. I'll connect you with my friend.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, do you have a good psychic?
I don't have a good psychic.
I have the world's, the world's greatest psychic.
Really?
He's not even a psychic.
Okay.
He's like an angel.
All right. I definitely want to be
connected. I'm telling you, you're going to be like,
wow.
How did he, what the? You'll see. So I'll hook you up. But anyhow, what was I saying?
Your human design.
Oh, so my human design is a reflector.
Right.
So that's like a rare percentage of the population, which my fucking ego loves that, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah.
You're unique.
Oh, absolutely.
The stars aligned when Danny was born.
Casper's laughing right now. He's not laughing because he knows me, right? But you know, as a reflector, what happens is we not only reflect back to people what's going on with them, but there's also this like savior thing where they think that you're like their answer.
Oh,
type of deal.
Wow.
So this is another reason why I get weird around people.
Yeah.
Because I'll have people like, I'll give you an example right now because of the podcast. The podcast is doing so good.
Yeah.
And people will all of a sudden try to be my friend.
Right.
And I can see it.
Yeah.
And they'll start messaging me and they'll literally, people will be like, hey, look who I'm with. Hey, I'm with cool people. Can I be with you? And can I come on the show? And I'm like, I don't even deal with, that's why you deal with that.
Yeah.
Cause I don't want any of those vibes.
Yeah.
Like, I just want people to be real. And if you're real, then I can hang with you.
Yeah.
But if I know you want something from me, that
well, I guess you're at that stage where, well, I don't know if it's a state, you've been there for a long time where you're popular and you're successful and people are going to want things from you. They want you.
But you know what that's like because you're an actor.
Yeah, I went through it as an actor.
And I genuinely want people to want them.
Yeah.
Because you start to realize that all of that is bullshit.
It's all bullshit.
It's 100% bullshit.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing about me that isn't in you.
Well, and the irony, I don't know if it was for you, but one of the reasons I became an actor was unconsciously because I wanted to be seen.
By the way, I wanted to be an actor too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, we all kind of want to be actors because we all want to be seen. And what you find out is you're not seen at all. Nobody sees you as an actor. They're just seeing their projection.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, part of the reason that I became depressed about it because I was like, you know, I thought finally I was going to get this thing that I wanted. I guess I wanted it for my mother and my father to be seen in a certain way. And I just didn't get it. And so that's actually, I think, what not just actors or leaders, you know, they have to tolerate not being seen. And that actually is a real superpower. When you can make no demand on that the world see you, that's a superpower because you're contained within yourself. I see myself. I know my worth. I know my goodness. I define me. So how you see me has nothing to do with me. That's your own projection. If you can stand in that and just let whatever wants to happen, that's the ultimate power.
That is absolutely.
Yeah.
And then when you're in that power, you can help other people.
Exactly.
Lead them to their
power. Well, and because of course, once you feel that, you know that, and then you want to help everybody else feel that way because then everybody's free. It's actually easier for you.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
You don't have to deal everybody's free. All of that. Needy, wanty, distorted energy coming at you.
None of that. Yeah. And that's why I remember when I first did ayahuasca, I literally was like, oh my God, I want the whole world to literally like lean back, open their mouths and just like come by with a helicopter or something and have everybody take some of them, lie their asses down for a little bit, deal with their shit and we'll all be happy.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah. What is it? Somebody said every politician should have to do ayahuasca at least 5 times.
But you know what? But they would not want to be politicians.
No, of course not.
Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. I heard that and I go right away, but then they wouldn't want to be politicians.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always curious about the kind of person that wants to become a politician. I mean, I think there's good politicians, but.
I think there's good politicians as well, for sure. But I think for the most part, It's a power play.
Yeah, it's a power play.
It's a big power/control slash manipulation play.
Yeah, but I think we're waking up to it. I think more and more people are waking up to it. I mean, the fact that this podcast is popular and that you're speaking the way you are, very frankly, I mean, you know, about all of these issues, about the culture, I think is a really good good sign. And Austin is obviously a center for that kind of thinking. So it seems like more and more people are becoming aware of what's actually going on.
Happening.
It's a hard thing to wake up to because you realize, wait, I've been lied to about most everything my entire
life.
What? I mean, when I woke up to it, I was in Hollywood, man. So I was bought in.
You're in.
Right. And that was a hard pill to swallow when I woke up. And I went through a lot of despair, anger about it because I lost a lot of people.
I'm sure.
And it was painful.
So, as did I. Not from Hollywood, but when I, you know, believe it or not, but the same thing happened to me, like in my little microorganism called Southern California real estate.
Uh-huh.
There's so much competitiveness and ego and survivalness, and I need the commission. So I have to like backstab you, and then I'm going to leave your company to go with someone else.
Right.
So I have to post it on Facebook to make you feel bad so that my ego feels good.
That's the business you were in, real estate,
my God.
Before
it
you got into this?
It was an absolute disaster. And I was
there
the king.
There must be a reality show.
I was the king of it. No. You want to talk about, I love you guys, by the way, but you want to, fuck.
You were the king of it.
I was the king of it. I had to have the flashiest, most fitted suit with the shiniest, most polished car.
I love it.
I had to win all of the trophies, but then I was too good to go get the trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to make the most money and with the biggest watch.
I mean, if you're going to go into your shadow, you might as well go all the way.
Go if you want to deal with your shadow and you want to come face to face with your ego, go sell fucking real estate in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Go do that shit. I'm telling you right now. Because you know what it is, man? You're going to get a kick out of this. It's, look, I love you guys. Get over it. Or get mad at me. It doesn't matter. But it's, think about this. Just think about this, for example. We live in a society where, for the most part, the story is white people are rich, they have it all, and if you're black or brown, you suck, and you're poor.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about this. So you grow up with this narrative in your head, and you believe it, right?
Yeah.
And that narrative really defines a lot about how you see yourself,
yes.
how you see life, how you see opportunities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then on top of that narrative, you realize that, oh shit, your parents live under that narrative too.
Right.
And so do their parents, and so do all of our aunts and uncles and so forth and so on. And no one has money, right? Everyone lives in this survival scarcity mode. And then all of a sudden you make it out.
Yeah.
And you make a little money.
Right.
So what do you go into? Hey world, I made money.
Yeah.
Look at me. I finally am like one of them.
Yes.
Right? I can afford a nice car. I can afford a nice suit. So guess what you go do? Your ego go runs amok, and then you have to be like the cream of the crop of all of the people that are now making a little bit of money.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course.
So it's this whole little microorganism of people that are essentially elevating in their finances, but then in their shadows, they're all like—
Right. Right. It's a stage that almost you have to go through it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And then when I finally woke up to it, it was like, I gotta get out. I can't be.
What made you wake up out of it?
Pain. Yeah, because what happened was I built a pretty big company. We had 400 agents.
Wow.
It was big. 400 agents, 35 staff members. It was $1 billion in annual sales.
Wow.
$40 million in revenue. It was like really, it was really good, right? And what happened was, and this I take complete ownership over, I built the company around coaching agents on how to become better.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's anything I know how to do, I can help you be better at you. Like
right.
I can help you be better. Back then it was just money. So back then it was all about, I could help you. I could help anybody make 100K a year, 200K a year. And if you halfway believe in yourself, I can help you make $500,000 a year, $1 million a year. Easy, piece of cake, no problem, right? So then I went out and I did this and I thought, my God, nobody is doing this in real estate. So what if I combined coaching with real estate?
Mm-hmm.
This is a winner.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone's going to love me.
Everyone's going to love me.
Right? That has to be the number one.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to love me, right? I'm going to show them more money, how to make more money. Yeah. So they're going to be happy. And then by them making more money, I'm happy too.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So everything is perfect, right? Well, here's what happens. What was happening was because of my natural ability to communicate, articulate, and the fact that I was a complete asshole back mm-hmm. then, right? Mm-hmm. I gave them no space to be the hero. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're right? saying. Yeah, it was all about you on some level.
I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Right? That's why I say I take ownership over it. But I gave them no room to be the guy or the girl. So eventually, we literally would help people go from zero, like broke as hell, to making $250,000 a year in a year and a half.
Wow.
And I thought they will be with me forever. Because who does this for people, yeah, right? Yeah. This is awesome. This is my dream job. And one by one,
wow,
they're dropping by like flies, and they would go to the next competitor's office who would offer them a little bit of a higher commission
right.
split.
And you must have felt betrayed.
Oh, I felt, it was like every day, like getting stabbed in the heart.
Wow.
And then this was the worst part. And then they would go to the other company,
mm-hmm.
and because they weren't in our environment, our training system, our call it whatever, their sales would drop.
Oh my God.
Their income would drop. And some would find their way back, obviously. And some would like never go back to that level, right? And then you're trying to go, brother, don't you see? Like,
there's magic
in what we were doing. But then the ego wouldn't allow them because in their mind, it was taking a step back.
Right.
Because obviously I was king asshole back
right,
then.
Right.
It was a mess.
Wow. And ayahuasca was, plant medicine was how you found your way out of that.
My mom passed away.
Mm.
And when she passed away is when I started to realize I'm overweight. I'm unhappy. I'm literally a miserable human being. I don't even know who I am. I don't know what I am. I don't even know what I want. I have this big company. Everybody is leaving. People come. I already know as they come, they're going to stay for only a certain amount of time. And it was like my heart was breaking over and over and over again. And finally, when she died, I was like, I'm done.
Wow.
Something's not right here. Yeah. This isn't life. Yeah. This isn't real. And then that's when I found ayahuasca.
Amazing. It takes a lot of courage to change like that.
And
give it all up.
It was because it was my entire identity.
Mm-hmm.
It was my entire, it was my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was my life. And yet there was something inside of me. And if I could help you all with anything, and I'm sure you'll resonate, but mm-hmm. so often in life, in order to find the truth, you have to give up what you've been holding on to.
Yeah.
So dearly. It's the same with love.
Yeah.
It's the same with love. It's the same with anything.
And that moment you let go, there's nothing to hold on to. That's the thing you have to tolerate.
Yeah.
You know, you let go and or the other images, you know, you're walking through the dark hall, you close one door and you don't exactly know where the next door is, but you have to trust that it's going to be there. Change is a leap of faith. I mean, that's what happened. That's what, you know, Madre certainly shows you
that's
that
right.
It is a leap of faith.
That's right.
And you learn to trust it. I mean, that's part of the skill. It's like that I've developed over time. I still wrestle with it. I don't like the unknown, right? I resist it. But I know that when I let go of control and let God's will be done, you know, let spirit take over, let the energy, just the intelligence of the universe do its thing. And I give over to that. Everything works out.
Yeah.
But my ego is always protesting.
Yeah, man.
So it's like, you know, it's a tricky balance. And yeah, the identity thing is, I mean, I relate to that as well. When I gave up acting and started doing the work that I'm doing now, it was a very hard thing to give up. I mean, I got a lot of attention as an actor, you know, people identified me that way, identified myself.
And I'm sure as a guy, you love the female.
Oh
attention.
Yeah. Lots of female attention. Yeah. My ego was stroked and you're in an industry that everybody reveres and many people want to be in, and you made it to the top, or I don't know if I made it to the top, but I was in the big leagues, you know, taking my cuts. And then I quit and people were just like, what are you doing? My agents, my managers, they couldn't figure it out. They're like, you're into this weird therapy. This is what you're going to do now. And I was just like, man, I'm just following my life. Like,
that was me. Everybody's like, you're going to do what? Yeah. You're ayahuasca? That's the devil. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But you got to follow it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's what I did. And, And again, I wrestle, but I know when I trust, when I let go, it's like that's when the good things happen. That's when it unfolds in miraculous ways. But you know, but the ego is strong sometimes. Mm-hmm.
So a couple thoughts. Number one, my mastermind, the name of it is Inner Circle.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to come out.
Yeah.
I want you to come out. They're all coming.
Okay.
Right? And I want you to do two things. Number one,
yeah.
They're all coming in March, and this our intensives are our workshops.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3-day workshops for everybody in the group. This one is going to be on relationships, right?
Perfect.
The next one is on finances.
Uh-huh.
The next one is on health. And then the one after that is going to be on spirit.
Wow.
Right? And that one, we're taking them all to Costa Rica to you know what, to meet the mother, right?
So, wow.
Right. I love my program. I love what we do, man, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah. But number one, I want you to come out,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to be a guest speaker if you'd be okay with that.
I'd love that.
On relationships.
Yes.
Because the greatest relationship we can have is with ourselves.
Yes.
Right? And then number two, on the one that we have next time on finances,
yep.
I want to literally bring, I want to build it into the workshop where we take all of them to you, or you come to us,
yes.
or whatever.
Yes.
But I want them to have this experience.
I'd love that. I'd love that. That's, I appreciate the invitation, and that's super exciting for me, speaking and working with a large group like that. Like, yeah, it's the work we do is real. Everybody gets it. That's, it looks, when you first experience it and you walk in, it's like, it's a little weird, or at least when I started, but now I see more and more people are taking to it. And people just get it. They get it intuitively. It's good to get your feelings out. You need a space where you can get this stuff out so you're not holding on to it. And to have it be seen, have it be witnessed, have other people see that we're all the same. Everybody's got it. Inspire other people to do the same. And it brings such deep connection, I can imagine, with your mastermind. It's going to bring people it takes you so deep.
Yeah, for sure.
Inside yourself. And it's a beautiful thing. So yeah, I appreciate that invitation.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Final thoughts.
Let's see. Well, it's great to talk to you. It's great to meet you. I'm happy to be in Austin.
We're going to hang out.
Absolutely. All these amazing people, and grateful for Aubert for introducing us. And I mean, we've talked about a lot of things. I guess, I just want to encourage your audience to stay true to themselves.
That's right.
You know, my motto is, try not to betray yourself and trust that and stay with your feelings, trust your goodness, and you'll be all right.
I love it. I love it. And how do people get a hold of you?
They can go to my website, davidsutcliffe.com. I'm on Instagram at davidsutcliffe33. But at my website, it's all there, davidsutcliffe.com.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for being
here. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks so much for being here. Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. This was wonderful. By the way, I got to share something with you. I want you to notice what just happened here with David and I. And as you're out there, I want you to realize the magic of just being your authentic self whenever it comes to opportunities, or whenever it comes to attracting what you want in life, right? Because as you see, I just invited David to an opportunity, right, to help my people, because I love my people. And then I'm going to sign them all up to come and do this workshop with you, which blesses you financially and blesses mm-hmm. them energetically. And he never asked. You got to understand that. He never asked. It all just happened, but it's because there's a safety in his energy. I want you to catch that, right? And so often what we love to do is we want to control, and we want to manipulate, and we want to force. And what you just experienced was power. This is the true power that we as human beings have. And when I tell you guys all the time, get to awaken. I'm not trying to tell you to come to an event. I'm trying to tell you to meet you, because there's this kind of power in you where you can attract your soulmate. We didn't even talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Partnerships. You can attract finances. You can attract everything that you need in order to be whole, happy, and complete. And there's nothing different from you, from me, from David, from anybody else. Some things you might have to unravel, but there's tools available for you to do this. So we definitely hope to see you either on his website, at Awaken. For those of you thinking about Inner Circle, at Inner Circle, but just start. Even if it's in the silence of your own mind, in your own room, every morning meditating, just give it a start. And we'll see you next week on another episode of The Higher Self.
Thanks for watching or listening. If this week's episode resonated with you deeply and you're ready to discover more about yourself, go to DannyMorrell.com and check out some of our upcoming events and our resources. Or if you'd like to learn more about our coaching programs, simply shoot us a message on Instagram and one of our team members will reach out to you immediately.